Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hour two of the Gabe Kuhn Show is here, and it's brought to you by the Memphis Showboats. Get your tickets now to see the Showboats at Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium. Make sure you go to UFL.com or call 901-341-7008. That's UFL.com or call 901-341-7008. Without further ado, let's bring on David Cobb at David W. Cobb on X, college basketball, college football for CBS Sports. David, how's it going, brother? Good to talk with you.
Hey, man. Hey, good to talk with you. It looks like Memphis is staying busy.
Yeah, they are staying busy. I know that last Friday, the P.J. Haggerty news hit everybody really hard, but it feels like they've rebounded relatively well. Zach Davis was a commit on that day. They got Sincere Parker before that. But today, get a former five-star in the 2023 class, a guy who's been at Kentucky and Ohio State, 7 foot, 225, a big body. Aaron Bradshaw has committed to the University of Memphis. What do you make of his commitment and what he can actually bring to the University of Memphis? Obviously, it's a step down in competition, step down in level, so certainly that could help him.
Oh, without a doubt. An immensely talented guy with a lot of physical tools, somebody who really is effective at the rim. Took a lot of jumpers for Ohio State and then also didn't play a ton for Ohio State due to injuries and the fact that Ohio State played small a good chunk of last season. But he's not a perfect player. Like, he's foul prone. The outside shot isn't there yet. Not that you would expect it to be for a 7-footer, but yeah, I mean, around the rim and as a rim protector, I think he can be really solid for them. He's not your traditional post-up guy where you dump it down to him on the block, maybe like a Dane Danger, but I think that could be a good thing. If Dane Danger is able to come back, then it's not a situation where you got two carbon copy big men. You know, in a way, Aaron Bradshaw is not the rim protector that Musa Cisse was, but he could differentiate his skill set from Dane Danger, kind of like Musa did. So I think that they could potentially work well together. I mean, obviously, if you get Danger back, you're going to be looking to play him, 30 minutes a game potentially. So is there a way to play Danger and Bradshaw together? You know, you hope you have to figure that out. You hope Dane Danger gets eligible, and that's a problem you encounter. In the meantime, you needed a big body on this roster, especially with the uncertainty surrounding Danger. And Aaron Bradshaw, man, he's a really nice ad.
And it's not that we're surprised about it by any stretch of the imagination, but when you look at how Penny Hardaway and this staff have been able to rebound from the outgoing transfers, especially P.J. Haggerty, how impressed are you with the job they've done in just a short time?
I'm not surprised at all, and I am impressed. It's par for the course because people want to play for Penny Hardaway, and the departure of P.J. Haggerty freed up a lot of money for Memphis and for Penny to go and spend. And I'll give you another name that they've been connected with today. I believe it was Hitman who put it out there first, that Memphis has been in contact with Mr. Dean. Gabe, I am super excited about this guy. I don't know if he's going to commit to Memphis or not.
South Carolina upstate.
Yeah, I've had my eye on him since the beginning. The day he entered the portal, somebody who really popped me. Now, I don't think he comes in and is all AAC in year one if he commits to Memphis, but this is a guy who was totally under the radar as a high school prospect with a ton of tools, just ferocious attack in the rim. Like he's the archetype that the Grizzlies need right now, you know, on the college level. Just a dog defensively, a great athlete, physical player, maybe a little bit raw, but, man, there's a lot of upside there with him, too. So I love the fact that they're getting in on Mr. Dean. Not to mention, he's just got an awesome name.
Yeah, Mr. Dean. That's beautiful.
It's fantastic. So I love what they're doing. I wasn't as doom and gloom, sky is falling, you know, when Haggerty entered the portal as maybe some people were. And now we're kind of starting to see why. Like, Memphis is going to put together a roster that's going to be the projected number one team in the AAC again, and it might be one that's good enough to get back to the NCAA tournament.
So when you look at this roster top to bottom and you compare it to what they had last year, how do you feel about it when you put those rosters next to each other? Obviously, the job's not done, but if you're sort of projecting who they could potentially get based on who they've been tied to, whether it's Doug McDaniel, Mr. Dean, which is just insane to say. But like, how do you feel about this roster as compared to what they had put together, this past
season? Well, I mean, without PJ Haggerty, without Tyrese Hunter, you're missing a little bit of the veteran proven pop at the guard position. Like, they have guards with good qualities, like Sincere Parker is a bucket. Zachary Davis is a longer guard with a lot of defensive upside. Julius Sedford, still a very young player, but a player with upside. You know, they don't have that Tyrese Hunter, that PJ Haggerty, certainly not yet. So it's not as good as last year's roster at this point. But if you get Dane Danger back, if you add in Doug McDaniel, Arturo Dean is Mr. Dean's older brother who's been playing at Oklahoma State. Not a great offensive player, but a really, really solid defensive guard. So it's a bit of a mishmash, I guess, roster at this point. And I don't know exactly how all the pieces fit together. But I like a lot of the pieces on their own. And then, you know, it'll kind of be up to Penny to figure it out. We always have that discussion around Memphis basketball about defining roles. And they did that so, so well, I thought, last season. Now he's got a whole new roster, a whole new team where he's going to have to do that again, and they're still adding. So, I mean, I think at this point, I can't honestly tell you that what they're doing is going to be as good as what they had last year. I'm not quite there yet, but I think it's going in the right direction.
Yeah, and I will say, the way that you had to replace Tyrese Hunter and PJ Haggerty, you had to go for quantity and find some quality along the way, and they've done that, but you had to go for quantity. And one thing that I think this roster could potentially have that last year's didn't is maybe a little bit more depth in the way of, okay, you could have an injury happen to somebody and you could potentially rebound a little bit better. It seems like they're very deep, could be very deep in the backcourt as opposed to a year ago.
Well, yeah, no doubt. I mean, the Tyrese Hunter injury is the ultimate sort of what if for Memphis in the NCAA tournament. What if he's healthy? How different does the NCAA tournament look for Memphis? And, you know, right now, I don't know who that one player would be. I mean, if Dane Danger is able to get eligible, he would be the one. We can't be without him. But, you know, to your point, the rest of these guys are maybe plug and play, more, you know, interchangeable to a certain extent, which could make the definition of roles and the coming together and the gelling and all that. It could present some issues there, because I don't look at who the Hueys brought in so far and say, oh, well, there's your leading scorer. I mean, Sincere Parker can score a lot, but he's never played 30-plus minutes a game, not even at St. Louis or McNeese. So is he going to play 30 minutes a game at Memphis? I mean, I don't know. I kind of doubt it. Quante Berry is another guy who's produced in his previous stops, but I don't know what that hierarchy is right now. So, you know, yeah, they could certainly be a deeper team, especially if they get Mr. Dean, Arturo Dean, those guys, if they were to choose Memphis. And then, the Doug McDaniel thing looks pretty promising from you know, what I can tell. So that would be a nice add. You want more the Michigan, the second-year Michigan version of him as opposed to the Kansas State version. But a guy who could very clearly go out and be an all-conference type of guy in the AAC.
Now, time for some I Am a Lavea NIL and transfer portal talk. We know that Matt and I Am a Lavea spent a spring, if that, at Arkansas after committing to them out of high school. He enrolled early, did all that. Now he's going to UCLA, where he was actually originally committed to. I'm fully aware of that. But Arkansas and their NIL collective, not very happy with him. And it looks like Hunter Yurecek is backing up his NIL collective. They are trying to go and they're demanding roughly $200,000 back from Madden Iamaleava. I don't know if you've read up on this and you know the case itself and how much ground Arkansas's NIL collective has to stand on. But I think more so than anything, this is something that I'd imagine other NIL collectives around the country will try to start doing if this is successful for Arkansas.
Yeah, I mean, he spent less than a semester at Arkansas, and it wasn't even in season. So he's leaving before he's even experienced his first season at Arkansas to go to UCLA. So, I mean, it's only common sense that if you do that, okay, you're changing jobs. You're not going to get paid from the job. You're not going to get paid to leave a job. You're going to get paid by the job you're going to. I mean, that's just kind of common sense. But it's more complicated than that, of course, because since he's not an employee, it was a contract with the collective. Is there language in that contract that actually gives Arkansas's collective a leg to stand on with trying to recoup this money that they paid out to Madden Iamaleava? I don't know. It's a weird situation, but I love the fact that Arkansas is trying to recoup some of this. And, you know, we might see a similar situation play out with Auburn and Chad Baker Mazzara, because from my understanding, you know, there was a certain agreement in place there with him in Auburn, and now he's in the portal. And so, you know, it's only fair. It only makes sense that, like, if you leave and you don't make good on your end of the bargain as a player, that you should have to either not get paid what you were promised or have to, pay a buyout in some cases. So, I mean, unfortunately, we don't have collective bargaining. We don't have the structure in college sports to make that a mandate or a precedent. But if Arkansas is successful in whatever language they had in this deal with Madden Iamaleava, then, yay, you know what? Maybe we start to see that language adopted by collectives around the country. Maybe we start to see fewer and fewer of these guys leaving before they've even done anything. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And it just, I mean, come on, Gabe, this just adds to the lunacy surrounding the Iamaleava family, does it not? I mean,
I don't understand the move, by the way. I just don't understand it. Why would you have both of your quarterback sons competing with each other to get the starting job at UCLA? I guess the idea, if I could really break it down, is that their dad thinks, okay, Nico can play for a year, go off to the NFL draft as a first-round pick. That's, I think, considering UCLA and their standing in college football, I think that's going to be way easier said than done, and then Madden could take over. But to have both your sons at the same program competing for the same position, that seems like you're hustling backwards. I don't understand that at all.
I mean, I guess the thought process is if he's going to sit behind somebody and learn behind somebody, it might as well be Nico. But it's just hilarious, right? Because he was committed to UCLA originally, decommitted from UCLA. Like, I mean, on the one hand, it kind of shows you, like, it really is just business, because the fact that UCLA was, one, willing to recruit Nico and then willing to take Madden back, I guess it shows you, like, there were no hard feelings when Madden decommitted initially, because otherwise they never would have gotten involved with Nico, never would have welcomed Madden back. So, like, to me, it's an illustration of that. Like, this is really just business. So it's, I don't know, man. Like, is this guy trying to be the next, like, LeVar Ball? I mean, because he feels like
that's the comparison a lot of people are drawing.
I mean, that's what it feels like.
He's, it seems like a substantially Ball. Less successful LeVar Ball, though. I mean, who is it? LiAngelo. He's now a rapper, doing well for himself. Like, I don't know if we can compare the two at this moment. I don't know if that's fair.
Yeah, LaMelo's actually a good player. Lonzo's had a nice little career. So Nico and Madden, man, they got a long way to go to justify their father's actions.
Yeah, and I don't know. It just feels like a complete misunderstanding of the circumstances around both of his sons to have them both go to the same spot, compete for the same quarterback position. I will see how it plays out, but it just seems insane to me. I didn't get to catch up with you on this. Tennessee landed their highest-ranking prospect in program history, Nate Ament, a five-star, fourth-ranked prospect by 247 and ESPN. I know that Rick Barnes has coached another 6'10", slender power forward who can handle the ball, who has guard skill before. But what do you make of this addition for Tennessee, and how well, or, you know, how do you think this goes? Bringing in a freshman like this and potentially putting him at the top of the pecking order.
Oh, he's the next Kevin Durant, Gabe.
Yeah, sure.
It's a great ad. It kind of coincided with Rodney Rice not choosing Tennessee and going to USC. So with every addition, there's a downside. The downside here for Tennessee is maybe you don't get Rodney Rice, who is a veteran player who was going to be coming from Maryland, where he played with Jacoby Gillespie, a proven commodity, whereas Nate Amen, a just complete, potential wonder kind of a prospect. But, we have seen Rick Barnes with a Keon Johnson and a Jaden Springer, and they did fine in Tennessee uniforms and were both drafted. But that wasn't one of Rick Barnes' most successful teams necessarily. So, yeah, I mean, I think the fact that Tennessee isn't going to be solely reliant upon him is nice, because you do have Jacoby Gillespie. You are still going to add from the portal. You got your front court coming back. I think that part of it is nice. Like the Keon Johnson, Jaden Springer team was largely built around those guys. Tennessee, I mean, Nate Amen's going to get his shots. He's probably going to average 14, 15 points a game. But you got other players around him who have played college ball who can kind of take the reins when necessary. I mean, Jacoby Gillespie is pretty much universally a top 20 transfer in this cycle. So, yeah, I mean, I think their roster construction looks really nice. I saw a figure today. Tennessee's one of the only high major programs in the country that has not lost a player with returning eligibility to the portal. So they got a lot to replace in terms of what they graduated. But Rick Barnes is doing, again, very, very nice job of putting this roster together. And I think the Tennessee Boosters, I'll say this, man, they've stepped up. They stepped up to get Gillespie, to get Amen. I mean, Duke was in on this guy, right? So the fact that he chose Tennessee over Duke, I don't think he was doing that because he just loves Knoxville so much he can't wait to sing Rocky Top. I think there had to be a financial incentive there, and the fact that Tennessee was able to get that done is pretty impressive.
Talking with David Cobb at David W. Cobb on ex-college basketball, college football writer for CBS Sports. Now, you're going to be in here tomorrow talking with Jeffrey on Jeffrey Wright & Company. Need to go ahead and do a shameless plug for that. But I'm sure the unfun story here in Memphis is going to be what you talk about off the top of the show. Grizzlies down 0-2 in that series against the Thunder. What have you seen or not seen from that team in regards to sort of the playoff intensity, what they've looked like through these two games?
I mean, I don't necessarily buy the narrative that they've checked out and don't care and aren't putting forth, playoff worthy effort. I don't necessarily buy that. I think they're playing hard. I think they're trying. I just don't think they're very good relative to the Thunder.
<That's> fair.
I mean, and you've talked about this and I agree, man, especially evident watching that game the other day, the lack of bench scoring, bench firepower, just really, really, glaring and apparent. We didn't get a repeat Marvin Bagley performance. Luke Kennard is struggling to kind of get the clean looks that he got during the regular season, and more of a defensive liability this time of year, especially against an opponent of this caliber, which we all sort of knew was going to be the case all along. But I mean, I guess if you want to take a silver lining, I mean, I thought Jaren had a decent game. I mean, I know his plus minus ended up on the ugly side, but like he was more efficient in game two. So
sure.
I don't know how to make a positive out of this situation, man. Just hopefully they can be competitive. Hopefully they can steal one at home. That would be great just to salvage some dignity. Just steal one at home. I don't even need you to win both.
The Jaren, I'm glad he responded in the second half, but that first half was so ugly. And I think part of the reason that they dug themselves such a massive hole, got into foul trouble early, had the three fouls. His third foul came with 9 minutes left in the second quarter. And he got it in just like the most frustrating way that he could have gotten it, where he's getting outmaneuvered for a rebound by a 6'5 guard in Alex Caruso. That happens all too often with Jaren Jackson Jr. That's still, to this day, this far into his career, it just feels like that shouldn't be happening.
Just like a gangly sort of, like, he's like a gangly kid who's still getting coordinated, and that's kind of the way he's always been, and I think that's just who he is. He's, it's like you look at some players and you can like be like, okay, that guy didn't play baseball growing up. And I've always kind of felt that way about Jaren Jackson Jr., just the hands, the feel, the coordination, some of the hand-eye stuff. Like, he's a great basketball player. He's very skilled, but, like, he just lacks some of the just basic athletic awareness that I think most NBA players have. That's always kind of been an issue for him, and it just gets magnified on this stage. So, yeah, it's frustrating, man. If this is the audition for Isolo, man, like,
right.
I don't know. I think it's a tough sell. It's a tough sell to this fan base. And if the front office, like, was really – bent on him being the guy and trying to sell the fan base on this being the guy. Like, this is they put him in a really tough situation, because unless there's a huge turnaround in this series, I can't see the fan base being real fired up about this guy being the next coach.
Here's a conversation we had off the top of the show, and it's going to sound flagrant. It's going to sound insane, but I think you'll know where I'm headed with it. We did overreaction, not an overreaction, and Connor brought the prompt. It's the Grizzlies' big three is not good enough, and it's time to blow it up. Now, I said it was an overreaction. I think that you need to try to surround them, as you have not been able to do if you're Zach Kleiman. You need to surround them with better pieces this offseason and see how it goes. Now, if we're in the same position and looking at this Grizzlies team fighting into the playoffs, not as good as the top teams in the Western Conference, if it's the similar position or the same position going into next playoff season, how do you feel about that conversation where the Grizzlies' big three may not be good enough and you may need to dangle some of those guys, one of those guys, in a trade to see what you can get in return?
Well, if we're in the same position next year, you either blow up the big three or you blow up the front office. It's one of the two. I mean, you can't keep going down this path with these sort of results. I mean, it's kind of turned from in Kleiman we trust to, like, at Kleiman we fuss, I think, you know, because... I mean,
at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
He's kind of struggled a little bit these last 18 months to make this roster what it needed to be. The big three are the big three. They haven't changed. I mean, are any one of these guys like less talented than we thought they were before? I mean, maybe Ja's been, you know, a little bit on the struggle bus this year, but I'm still a big believer in Ja. Jaren had an all NBA caliber season. Desmond Bane continues to produce at a high level. I don't necessarily think they're the problem. I honestly believe, man, like I just, when I watch these Grizzlies, I'm like, man, what I would do for De'Anthony Melton and Kyle Anderson. Like, I mean, I would just do anything to have guys of that caliber surrounding them. And I realize things happen. There is a salary cap. Like, you can't keep high-dollar quality veterans on your roster forever. But the internal development of those complementary pieces has really, really failed, and that's shining here.
Well,
don't tell me that, like, oh, if Jalen Wells was healthy, it'd be a different series.
Right.
I'm sorry, no, that's not true. That would be a rookie trying to go out here and make a difference against the Thunder. It's just, you know, they need more than that.
I don't think that they are substantially worse, any of the big three, But what I do think is with the new CBA and the amount of money you're paying all three of them, likely this offseason, Jaren Jackson Jr. is going to sign a max or a supermax, depending on if he makes all NBA. You know, that just becomes less affordable, and your team and your roster suffers. We talk about it in the NFL all the time. When you pay the quarterback, $60 million per year, the rest of your roster takes hits because of that. You're not able to retain the same guys. That's why you had to see D'Anthony Melton and Dylan Brooks and Steven, like all these guys walk. You know, eventually, if you get the same results going into next year, you do need to think about some type of flexibility. And the way you could get flexibility is trading off one of those guys for assets. I know that's a tough pill to swallow for a lot of people that have followed the come up of this new generation of the Grizzlies. But it's the truth that we're living and we're seeing and we're breathing right now.
Well, at one point, the Grizzlies thought Rudy Gay was going to be the guy to kind of usher them into a golden era. He was a big part of that core four, the beginning of it, the very beginning of it. And then they moved off of him. Some people thought they were crazy for doing that, but in the long run, it benefited them. And so, yeah, I mean, at some point, I think everything's got to be on the table. And I don't even necessarily think we have to wait a year to have the conversation. I think everything can be on the table. I know Kleiman was forceful in his public remarks a few weeks ago about, we're standing by Ja Morant in particular. But, I think everything's got to be on the table. And Robert Parra has shown an ability and a willingness to have a quick trigger and to move in the dark and to move in silence on certain things and to blow things up and not be afraid to do that. So I wouldn't rule it. I wouldn't rule anything out with how disappointing this season ended and how ugly this playoff series has been. I don't think as the leader of an organization or the owner of a franchise, you just sit back and sit on your hands and say, we'll just run it back next year. You know, we're just going to see how it goes again next year. I don't think that's what the fan base wants, and I don't necessarily think that would be what this Grizzlies team needs.
Yep, I hear you. Well, David, I appreciate it, man. We will do it again on Friday. Thanks.
Okay, man. Sounds good.
Yes, sir. He is David Cobb at David W. Cobb on X, college basketball, college football writer for CBS Sports. He'll be on Jeffrey Wright and Company tomorrow with Jeffrey. And he's brought to you by Oxbow, the family-owned and operated retail store that's been making waves in Memphis for over a decade. Most unique retail experience in the city of Memphis, bar none. You pass them every day if you drive Poplar. Stop passing them and go in. 964 June Road is their address, right off of Poplar on June Road behind the Amoco Station. The clothing is great. You can get Howler Brothers, Genteel, Martin Dingman. Get a Genteel polo with for your favorite team, Tigers, Grizzlies. They have your SEC favorites, Tennessee, Arkansas, Alabama. You name it, they have it over at Oxbow. They also have new and used vintage vinyl for the music lovers. They have hunting and outdoor essentials on the top floor, perfect for the waterfowl hunter. They have the best selection of sports and entertainment memorabilia. You can get a signed poster, a poster in general. They have trading cards, Major League Baseball cards. If you're into that, get over to Oxbow. And we're going to be coming up on tailgating season relatively soon as we get going into fall football. So make sure you get that stuff, handle that right now. Right now, they have Yeti coolers, cups, koozies. It is all there for the taking. Get over to Oxbow, 964 June Road is where you find them in person. You can also go online, shopoxbow.com. That's shopoxbeau.com. And when you go to check out at shopoxbow.com, use my promo code. Put it in that promo code slot. The Gabe Show. All caps, no spaces. The Gabe Show. You'll get 20% off your online order at shopoxbow.com. But whether you're going online or in store to 964 June Road, remember to shop local. Shop Oxbow. Now, we do have that breaking news we need to discuss. The Tigers basketball program just got another commit, this time from 7-foot big man Aaron Bradshaw. He's a former 5-star. We'll react to it next. If you're looking to get engaged and find a diamond engagement ring here relatively soon, go to Robert Irwin Jewelers. It's the number one place to buy diamond engagement rings because, one, you get more choices. Robert Irwin Jewelers has a large collection of natural and lab-grown diamonds in all shapes and sizes. And if you can dream it, Robert Irwin Jewelers can make it come to life. You can bring in a drawing, a picture, whatever you have, they can make happen. And you get peace of mind with a meant-to-be guarantee, a 365-day, no questions asked, return policy. If you break up, if you want a new ring, whatever may happen in that 365-day period, you can return that diamond engagement ring for a full refund. They have free ring sizing for life. You gain, you lose weight. They can handle that. They have free jewelry spa service for life, and that's a bundle of jewelry maintenance services that includes stone tightening, buffing, polishing, ultrasonic cleaning, steam cleaning. So they will keep that jewelry bright and sparkling like the day you bought it. And they always have good financing options. You can ask her now and pay later with financing like 24-month deferred interest or take up to 60 months to pay at a low APR. Robert Irwin Jewelers and Howie, they have 40 years of experience in the jewelry business. So they are a trusted name. They've always served Memphians to the best of their ability. Robert Irwin Jewelers has 5 locations. Perkins Extended in East Memphis, Bartlett Town Center, South Lake Center in South Haven, and 2 locations in the Little Rock area. Bigger, better diamonds, better prices. Robert Irwin Jewelers are online at rijewelers.com. Now, I think Memphis basketball is looking for some more rings, whether that be a conference championship or maybe in the long-term future, a national championship. We'll see what happens there. But they are looking for some guys on the recruiting trail, and they are attacking the transfer portal rather heavily. They've gotten some good transfer portal names, Quante Berry, Sincere Parker, Julius Thedford, who's from Cordova and Whitehaven. But today, they landed a big. I know there was a lot of people asking questions with this roster, the way it was put together. Where are the bigs? Well, they have one. They have one. Not only are they going to be waiting on Dane Danger to see if he can get a waiver and come back to the University of Memphis, they landed a former 5-star recruit coming from Ohio State, started his career at Kentucky, Aaron Bradshaw, 7'1", 225 pounds last year, averaged 6 points and 2 rebounds per game in 17 minutes for Ohio State. They found a big man, and that was something we were waiting on. I really like this addition. Obviously, I don't think he's been able to play extended minutes. He's had some injury issues. He hasn't really lived up to the 5-star reputation he had out of high school, but this is now his third stop. It's against lesser competition. I feel like this is a good fit and a good chance for Aaron Bradshaw to really make his presence be known at the college basketball level.
Yeah, he's been a bit underwhelming in his college basketball career at Kentucky and Ohio State, but hopefully being in the American against lesser competition will help him improve a little bit. He has the potential to be a difference maker for the Memphis Tigers. We're glad that he is a 7-1 player. That is certainly going to help when you look at the roster right now. We've been talking about the last few weeks. They definitely need some size, and it looks like Penny went out there and found some size. He has potential to be a difference maker. Now we're going to see if he can actually do it.
Now, Jason Munns put out the official shout for the newest commit for the Memphis Tigers, Aaron Bradshaw. Bluff City Collective, the NIL arm for the University of Memphis, quote tweeted him or reposted and said, "Not done yet." Jason gave him a winky face. Jason, of course, said, "Oh, I know." Bluff City Collective gave them the winky face as well. So the job is not finished. There are other guys out there that the Tigers are trying to take advantage of. I would say the two guys to pay attention to the most are, one, Doug McDaniel, a guy they were tied to, true point guard, averaged 16 points per game a couple of years ago at Michigan, 11 points per game at Kansas State. They've been tied to him for the past couple of transfer cycles, and he's a guy who certainly has a role that could be carved out here as a lead on-ball point guard. Also, Mr. Dean, 6'6", coming out of South Carolina Upstate, Arturo Dean's brother. Mr. Dean, what a hell of a name. But 15 points per game, 6 rebounds, about 3 assists per game as a freshman. He was a freshman of the year in the conference that he was in with South Carolina Upstate. Those two guys are the next in line that you could pay attention to potentially be commits. Now, when we look at the roster as it stands right now, Dante Harris will return, Sincere Parker coming in, Julius Thedford, Quante Berry, Daniel Vieira Tuck, Felipe Patino, Zachary Davis as your guards and your wings. Ashton Hardaway, an extra forward. Dane Danger could potentially get another waiver, so he could come back as a center. You have a center in Aaron Bradshaw who has 2 years of eligibility left. What else does this team need to take advantage of? I think, one, if Doug McDaniel commits ultimately, that's one of the big pieces, missing pieces, as you can find, a little bit of three-point shooting and a guy who can set up offense. And then also on top of that, I think you could find some supplemental pieces out there who can knock down the three ball at a high rate. They've had some success in the past. Look, a couple of years ago with Keontae Kennedy, this year with PJ Carter. Find some guys like that that can be rotation players that can knock down the three ball. And I think you have put together a heck of a roster. Also, in general, depth at the big positions is something they could probably look into. They have filled, and this is pre-house settlement, and we'll see how that all plays out. There's been some insanity going on with the house settlement. It could potentially get denied. But they have 9 or 10 now of their total 13 scholarships filled. They have 3 bits of wiggle room, three more scholarships they could use, 4 if Dane Danger does not join the fold with an extra waiver. So they still have some space and opportunity to fill out this roster to the best of their ability.
Yeah, I think that they still need to try to find some shooting. You definitely want to, and we saw it last year in the NCAA tournament. You just need to make sure that you have depth of the ball handler, which is why that Doug commitment would be absolutely massive.
And it was also, we passed the transfer portal date.
Right, so like if you had Dante Harris and Doug, and then you have somebody like Sincere Parker, you could trust, okay, you have three guys that can at least handle the basketball on your team, so you would have the depth there. I still think that they need some size as well, and it seems like all of those things are still top of mind for Penny with the players they've been connected to. So, yeah, you know, we've been having the discussion since last Friday. Would you rather have P.J. Haggerty, or would you rather have a roster full of some of these players? And, you know, I think that they've done a really good job since that P.J. Haggerty news came down of trying to fill this roster with the money that they would have used on a guy like P.J. Haggerty. And, again, we keep talking about it. I think it's unlikely, but if Dane Dangerous somehow, by some miracle, gets that waiver, this team is looking dangerous.
Yes, and I think without him they have built obviously the best team in the AAC.
Right.
And
it's a good team.
A team that could compete on the national stage like they did a year ago.
Now, for sure.
I don't think they're as top-heavy
from
a scoring perspective. They you're going to have to carve out a pecking order of
More
sorts.
Of a team effort.
But I do think this team has the ability to maybe withstand injuries like last year's team could not. Obviously, that's yet to be seen. We have a long time before next season hits. But it feels like they attacked the P.J. Haggerty transfer portal news by trying to go get as much quantity as they possibly could and still bring a little bit of quality along the way. So I really like what they're doing. And I think most of these guys fit the identity that Penny Hardaway tries to build on the defensive end. Guys like Zach Davis, Quante Berry, Julius Thedford, if they bring in Mr. Dean from South Carolina Upstate, these are guys that can really play some good defense. They're switchable. They have some optionality. I like that part of it as well.
Yeah, you're just hoping that some of these players who have had high potential and flashes really can figure it out and put it all together for a season. You need one or two of these guys who have shown those flashes to be able to do it consistently for a season.
All right, now we need to go ahead and get to small talk on the other side, and also stay tuned because I'm going to give away some Grizzlies tickets for tomorrow night's Game 3 in FedEx Forum, so stick around. And Small Talk is brought to you by Conway Services, reputable service available 7 days a week. Now, we do have a couple of winners in NBA awards that I do have to mention very quickly. Jalen Brunson won Clutch Player of the Year. That's just in. Peyton Pritchard, though, did win Sixth Man of the Year. And he swept the voting. I don't know if you saw it. He got 82 first-place votes to Malik Beasley, who was in seconds 13. So he absolutely ran away with that. But I do want to get back to a story I talked about with David Cobb at the top of this second hour. And it has to do with the Iama Lavea family as well. Of course, Madden Iama Lavea was committed to UCLA out of high school, decommitted, went to Arkansas, enrolled early, and went to Arkansas with a nice deal from Arkansas Edge, the NIL collective arm of Arkansas's football program. Now, since Madden Iama Lavea has gotten into the portal and committed to UCLA, Arkansas is fighting back. According to Front Office's sports, Amanda Kristovich, Arkansas's NIL collective has sent two demand letters to players asking to fulfill buyout clauses, according to, again, Front Office Sports. The AD's comments yesterday, Hunter Yurachek, of course, were referring to multiple players who left before NIL contracts expired, including Madden Iamaleava. So what is happening now is that these NIL collectives are putting in and instituting buyout clauses in the contracts that they are working with their student athletes. And with Madden Iama Lavea, I don't know. I do not have a copy of the contract in front of my face, but the assumption is they used a similar buyout clause to try to keep him on campus. Obviously, he leaves. They're searching for $200,000, demanding $200,000 in payments that they gave to Madden Iama Lavea now that he has gone to UCLA after just one spring with the Razorbacks. There was actually a similar situation that has unfolded. Wisconsin defensive back Xavier Lucas transferred to Miami over the winter without entering the portal because the Badgers argued a revenue-sharing deal he signed included a buyout clause. Wisconsin has since indicated it might pursue legal action against Lucas. This is getting ugly, but institutions, universities are fighting back. They're tired of being robbed blind on these NIL deals for a player that ultimately never played in-game action for them. I understand it, but it's just getting dirtier and nastier by the day on both sides.
I'm surprised it took us this long to get here, honestly. I really am, because it has just been absolute chaos the last few seasons, and it took one family trying to do something with the two different universities, and all of a sudden it's, hey, buyouts there, and there just needs to be some rules in place to not only protect these universities and these colleges, but more importantly, the players. Because I have absolutely no issue at all with players being able to go somewhere, players being able to make as much money as possible. But the way it is happening now, it is a disservice to college athletics, to the student athletes, and to the fans. We have got to put some rules in place to where you can't just jump around, take money from a school, never play a game, and then just go somewhere else. That can't be happening.
Now, the way that this all came about in NIL, it was foreseeable that we were going to have issues like this because of the lack of regulation, the lack of structure. But I didn't think we'd get to this point, quite frankly. This is just nonsense. This is beyond anything I thought we would see. And no one, let's be honest, and I know it's not going to affect the ratings of the fans that watch these things and the SEC and the Big Ten, all that. But at the same time, like, I think fans are just dramatically turned off by the offseason and what it entails now in college athletics, especially college football. We're talking about 18-year-olds and money being moved around and institutions being annoyed with these 18-year-olds. They feel like they're being taken advantage of. There comes a sense of entitlement from these guys on both sides. No one is happy with the way things are. No one is happy with the way things are. So let's change these things. Let's change these things before we're too far gone. I think we're too far gone now, but come on, man. Good Lord. But these buyout clauses make sense. I'll be honest with you. I think, to be completely frank with you, I think every single collective should have buyout clauses within their contracts to avoid situations like we've seen with Nico Iamalevea last offseason. You had Caden Proctor go to Iowa and then go back to Alabama without playing a game or a spring practice at Iowa. I think they all need to start getting these buyout clauses in there, because the truth of the matter is your actions have consequences. And I think we need to teach these young players that if you take certain actions, if you leave certain people behind, if you don't live up to a contract, there will be consequences on the back end. I think it's a learning lesson that we need to start instilling in some of these players that are moving willy-nilly across the country. But we have hour number three on the way. I do need to give away a bundle of four tickets to tomorrow night's Grizzlies Thunder Game 3 at FedEx Forum. Call 901-445-0929, 901-445-0929. We will give that bundle of four tickets to tomorrow night's Game 3 to the second caller. 901-445-0929. If you are the second caller to 901-445-0929, you will get a bundle of four tickets to tomorrow night's game. But we have to transition, get to the NFL draft. We'll talk with Chad Ryder from NFL.com next.